Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Where are the guys? Where are the fathers here? You know what we're going to do? Next year, we're going to celebrate Father's Day in May and Mother's Day in June. See what happens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Because the fathers always get the, whatever. But you may have heard the story. I don't know if this is correct, because you know what? Sometimes I do rely on Mr. Google and to search for things. And, of course, it's been told that in the city of Spokane, Washington, a young lady was listening to a sermon on Mother's Day, and she did not get to meet her mother. She didn't know her mother. And all of her care and attention came from her dearly beloved father. Everything that she learned from her father. So she wanted to do something about that. She wanted to tell Dad how courageous he was, how self-sacrificial and so loving. So, her father's birthday was on June 19th, so she decided to pick that day, and today we celebrate on the third Sunday of June what we know today as Father's Day. And of course, many poems, many songs, not as many as for mothers, but we're going to leave that behind. You know, so many thoughts have been given for fathers. And a little child, a six-year-old, asked his father, and he said, "Hey, what is it with Father's Day? What's the meaning of Father's Day? What is Father's Day?" And the dad said, "Well, it's like Mother's Day, but with less money and less gifts." But that shouldn't be true. I know that we tend to gravitate towards mama, but, you know, it is also good to honor fathers, especially our Father in heaven, who's given us the example. And in the Bible, you see many fathers. You see Noah, you see Adam from the beginning, you see Abraham, you see Isaac, you see Job, you see so many of them who were good examples, yet flawed. Just like me, just like you. And one day, there's a particular man who got together the people of God as he was leading them. And his name was Joshua. And he gives them this discourse at the end of it all, before he departs. And he recommends a few things, or he just simply says, "You choose what you should do. I'm going to give you the choice. Whether you serve God or you serve the gods of this world." You know his name. His name is Joshua. And he did tell them, "Hey, if you do not serve God and you decide to serve yourselves or other gods, then you will suffer the consequences. But you know what? I don't care, because I will serve the Lord, and my family will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, this consecration, this covenant, this thing that he presented as a resolution to his people, to God's people, was done at the same mountain or area where Abraham brought his son Isaac to be offered as a sacrifice. This is about the same place where the well of Jacob was. And Joshua, he, of course, you know him in the Bible stories, being the captain of the army and the servant of Moses. He was like his number one guy to go to. He served Moses as his leader. He followed him for many years. And through 40 years in the desert, he was the captain of Moses' army. And he served diligently. He had fought and fought to make sure that the people were able to reap the benefits of God's grace in this beautiful land that God was going to give him. Now, you know some of the story also. Joshua was sent to be a spy in the land before they took it over. And he was sent with 12 men, right? There was 12. But him and Caleb were the only true courageous men who came back and said, listen, this is a great land. There might be big people over there. There might be strong armies over there. But we can take them because we're fighting this battle for God. And God is fighting for us. And needless to say, God deemed that to be so awesome in their faith that God even told them, you know, these two guys, Joshua and Caleb, they're the only two out of the whole people that are going to actually enter the kingdom or enter the land that I'm giving them. Everybody else is going to perish on the way. And for the next 40 years, basically, people started dying and new people started being born, and none of them made it to the promised land except those who were Joshua and Caleb. Oh, my God. Talk about a privilege. Joshua had served God honorably, and God was bringing him to retirement. And God was honoring him because Joshua honored him in every single step. But I want to go back. I want to go back to the beginning where Joshua is elected by God to do this task. And I want to take you to Numbers chapter 27 and verses 15 through 18. You see, Moses was asking God, you know, okay, so you've told me that I'm not going to be going in there. Who's going to lead them? So in Numbers 27, verse 15 through 18, God speaks to Moses. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them and who will lead them out and bring them in so that the congregation of the Lord would not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Wow. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him. Now, the laying of hands means commission him to do the task. Give him the job. Let him take charge. So as you can see, it was God himself who chose Joshua to be the shepherd. Why do I say shepherd? Because if you look at the question that Moses poses to God, he didn't say, who's going to be the captain? Who's going to be the warrior? Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be this and that? He said, who's going to shepherd them? You don't want your people to be out there like sheep without a shepherd. So he calls Joshua to shepherd his flock. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you about, because Dad, you are the shepherd of your family. That's what you've been called to do. As a shepherd, you have some duties. And I want to talk about a few duties that you should have or you should be complying with as a father and as a shepherd of your family. And when I say family, I mean your wife and your kids. Not just your wife or not just your kids, but your wife and kids. Your whole family needs shepherding. And that's what God is calling you to do. So let's think about these things for a second. Number one, I want to tell you, you've been chosen by God to shepherd your family. I just said that. You've been chosen. You know, and we say that every time, and we say it all the time. There may be, you know, sometimes, oops, by accident, some become fathers. But it is no accident when God brings a being to life. God knows what he's doing, even if you get into one of those accidents. They're not accidents. They're facts. They're acts of your will, whether right or wrong, whether sin or not. We make decisions, and God makes provision. Now, of course, so God is the one who intertwines us and makes us in the womb of the mother, and that's a great thing to know, that God is involved in the process from beginning to end. But now that there is a creature, now that there's a child, then somebody's got to lead them, somebody's got to shepherd them, and we are sheep of his pasture. Therefore, we have a shepherd, and his name is Jesus. But in the family, definitely, you've been charged, Father, as a shepherd of your family. So Joshua becomes the leader of the people of Israel. And he's mentioned, chosen by God. It wasn't Moses. Even Moses, I want you to think about this, because Joshua had been faithfully following Moses everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. He had been doing everything that Moses ever asked. As a matter of fact, when Moses went to meet God, when Moses would go into the tent, a meeting, wherever he went, Joshua was there. Joshua would follow and follow and follow Moses wherever he went. Now, it is, I want you to think about this, because Moses could have assumed the position and just without asking God, just told Joshua, hey, tag, you're it. I'm out. I'm heading out. So you got it. But no, he didn't do that. He went to the Lord and he says, hey, who's going to shepherd your people? Who's going to shepherd your flock? And God chooses Joshua. So I want you to think about that. And let it sink in, because it is not by will of man, but by will of God that you are the shepherd of your family. And I want you to take that not so lightly, but take it seriously. Commissioned by Moses, but chosen by God. To what? Number one, let me tell you a few things. To lead your flock to safety, to keep them safe. Now, I'm talking about building a home, not just a house, a home, a house. Is that one in the corner? A home is where you make life with your family. See, there's a big difference. And you need to build a house to make it a home for your family. You see, we provide safety. I don't know about you, but I've heard so many people, that, or at least women and children, that when father is away, they don't feel as safe. Have you ever heard that? You know, I want you to think, you don't have to be tall. You don't have to be strong. You don't need to be this big man for your family to feel safe when you're home, right? I know that by experience, because I'm not tall. I'm not that muscular. I can't outrun many people. But yet, when I'm home, my family feels safe. I don't know why, but they feel safe. Because I make it look like they can be safe when I'm there. I tell them they're safe. And then I turn around and go, God. But you see, that's what we do as shepherds. We need to be protecting. We need to be providing a safe home for our families. You see, this is hard work. It starts with a good father who works to build a safe home for his family. This is important. I want you to think about this. Mothers make home enjoyable. But fathers should make home safe, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? I'll make it safe while you make it enjoyable. And that works together. Oh, my God, that is so awesome. But you see, Dad, I want to tell you something. You can build the highest fence. You can put the strongest locks on your doors. You can install the most sophisticated security system, the highest definition cameras in the perimeter of your home to keep it safe. But nothing is making it, or it's going to make it feel any safer if you're not there. Your presence makes it safe. Amen? That's why you need to be there. The presence of a godly mother makes home beautiful and joyful, but the presence of a godly father always makes home feel safe. So keep your family in safety. Be there for them and with them. Number two, lead your flock to green pastures. To lead your flock to green pastures. You see, this is important. Joshua was the leader of the people. And he made sure that they were encamping in the right place. He made sure that they all flowed together with each leader of each tribe to make sure that they all had their tents and they pitched their tents wherever Joshua said, this is it, because he was following God's guidance, and they did, and they were safe. But also, they had to search for food. And I want you to think in terms of sheep. Do you remember what the Lord's, the Psalm 23, where it talks about, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not need anything. I'm covered. I got everything. And he leads me It says that he leads me where? To green pastures. He leads me to green pastures. He's the one that provides, that feeds, that nourishes. Now, of course, this is a responsibility that most men take serious. We go to work, and the women don't, right? That's funny, right? You see, we go to work, and we think they don't if they stay home. And then if we go to work and they go to work, their job is always easier. And if we go to work and they go to work, since their job is easier, they got to do everything at home too. That's a dad right there. I don't think so, right? Things don't necessarily work like that anymore. You see, but I want you to think of this as taking them to green pastures as provision. You need to provide for your family. You remember that in the New Testament later on when Paul is writing and he's talking to the congregations in Asia Minor, or what we know as Turkey, he tells them, hey, just because we're talking about the Lord's coming doesn't mean that you need to just go home and not work and say, well, we're going to wait for the Lord to come. And that's it. No, you need to go provide for your family. You need to go to work. You need to get your hands dirty. You need to go out there and do your job for provision. You need to bring them the good and green pastures, right? And you see, the thing is, I've always laughed and said this, because I have often had parents ask me to talk to their youth, because a lot of times they want that freedom, right? They want to go out. They want to go venture on their own. And I've had parents bring their kids to my office and say, Pastor, I need you to fix this for me. Tell them. Right? Okay, so what do you want me to tell them? Well, they want to move out. They want to do this because they want they want to do all this crazy stuff in their lives. And one of the things that I always ask those young persons, don't hide. I got you. I tell them, I said, so what does it mean to you now that you are 18? Now that you just turned 18, well, I'm an adult. And what does that mean to you? What's so important about it? The word starts with F. Freedom. Freedom, right? Have you ever heard your kids say that to you? You better not say anything because they're here. Just take it easy, right, if they're here. But freedom, freedom, freedom. It's about freedom. And normally I just got to tell them, oh, freedom. Let me give you my definition of adulthood. Responsibility. Responsibility. In one word. You can define adulthood as freedom. It's going to lead you right back to where you were. But if you define your adulthood as responsibility, then you might go places, son or daughter. And when you as a parent model that, hopefully they'll learn it. There are no guarantees, but hopefully they will, right? Hopefully they will. And some of them will, but they have to see it in you. They have to see responsibility, that you are the adult in the room. When you're disciplining or when you're giving orders, most likely that's one of the things that you think about. Well, I'm the adult in the room. I get to say. Well, guess what? You get to do. You get to be the example. That's something that they can learn from us as dads. Now, teach them to work, but teach them to work smart. Teach them to work honestly, and maybe they don't have to work so hard. Hard work is not bad, but if you work smarter and you work honestly, most likely they won't have to work so hard. And you can teach them that, Dad. Doesn't matter what your profession is. You can work smarter, you can work honest, and you don't have to work so hard. You see, but things are not like they used to, like I said before. See, mothers used to stay home while Dad went out to look, you know, and work. But now today, both of them go out. Both of them go out. Both of them are earning because, you know, things have changed. Okay, so if things have changed, then Dad, that means that you need to make an effort to do some at home too. At home, you know, if she's out there working and you're working, when you come back home, there are chores for you and her, for both of you. And you need to be helpful. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody scream and yell and worship and praise. Yeah. That's the way it is. You know, we have to think about that. You know, so the Father, as a good shepherd of your family, now you have to work, not just out there, but in here too. And, you know, as a good provider also, a word to the wise. So many may have children of other marriages or previous relationships or far away. Provide for them too. Don't forget about them. Just remember something. One of the descriptions, one of the descriptors, one of the attributes, one of the names that we see in the Bible that we admire so much is Jehovah Jireh, however you want to pronounce that. God is our provider. Isn't that great? Well, man, be the provider. Be like your God. If you want to be a godly man, then you need to do stuff that God does. And God is a provider. And provide for all of your family. Because even though those children may not live under your roof, they're still your children, they're still your family. Go for it. Anyway, let's keep going. Another thing that a good dad or a good shepherd does, lead to still and clear waters. You need to be leading your flock, your family, to still and clear waters. I want you to understand that these people lived in deserts. Finding water was a lot of work. Finding water was not easy. You had to know what you were doing to find water. As a matter of fact, in these deserts, the rain will come in suddenly and so quickly and go away that they had to know where the water puddled. Basically, is what it was. You had to know the landscape and know, okay, when it rains, these torrential rains, which last only a few days or a day or a few hours, they will puddle somewhere. And where they do, that's where I need to lead my flock. And they knew this. Now, as a dad, as a father, as a shepherd of your family, you need to be careful because you don't know how hard it is for your children out here in this desert that they live in. You see, when they go out to school, when they go out to work, when they go out with their friends, wherever they're doing, whether they're watching a movie or watching TV or doing this or playing those video games or whatever we can become addicted to, I mean, whatever we do, there's a desert out there. It's dry. There's not much God to be included in all of those things. They're not going to gain much truth or insight in this world. It's a desert. It's barren. And you need to make sure that they are willing, you help them, to get to still and clear waters. You have to make sure that they get to the Word. You see, when sheep get thirsty, they become restless. And let me tell you something. I learned a little bit about sheep here and there. And the sheep, you see, they don't need to be drinking water every day, every day, every day. And even the water, some of the shepherds prefer that the water that they drink may be from the dew on the grass that they find for them, because that water is clean and pure. Because if not, they got to go find clean water. If the sheep do not get clean and clear water, they get sick. Just like drinking New Orleans water. No, I'm just kidding. You know, you ought to taste New York's water. I don't know what it is about New York's water, sister, but I hate it. I don't know what it is, but some people say they got the best water up there. And so people like it. I don't know how. You see, all this, I don't know why we've gotten so accustomed to bottled water. Did you drink bottled water when you were a kid? No, we drank right out of the spigot. And everybody put their mouth on the spigot. Who cared? And nobody worried about germs. You drink germs. You digest germs. They make you strong. You eat dirt with that water, too. Come on. Yes, minerals, right? And then we grow accustomed to these kind of things that are a luxury, right? And then we kind of like one or the other. I don't know about you, but there's a particular kind that I like. And I'm not going to make a free, you know, advertisement. And it's not this one. So now you know, Ed. This is not the one. The one that I like, you know, some people say, ooh, you drink that. And that thing has so much of this and that and this and that. And I'm like, I drink water not for the minerals. I drink water because I like water. And I like this one in particular. I'm going to keep drinking it. And if they put all that stuff in there, I get more stuff then. Whatever stuff that is, right? But anyway, but sheep get thirsty, and they become restless. And you know, when sheep become restless, what do? They tend to wander away. And one of the things about the shepherd is that he needs to keep the flock together, because the sheep by themselves, what happens to them? They die. A sheep without a shepherd. That was the worry of Moses. You know, these people need to be kept together. These people need to be provided together. These people need to be brought to the waters together. Because as soon as they get restless, as soon as they don't get enough water, they'll get restless and they'll start running away. That's why we need so much of this water right here. Drink from the fountain. We need so much of this in our lives and our family. Fathers, we need the Bible. We need the water that leads to eternal life right here, that quenches all thirst. Because if not, if we don't have this water, our children get restless and thirsty, and they'll go seeking some other bad waters. See, you can't leave them on their own devices. I don't take it very well when I talk to some parents and they have teenagers at home, and they come in and their teenage kids are at home while they're here. I'm like, what happened? Oh, they don't even want to come to church no more. Really? You live under my roof? I don't care if you have hair or not. I'll grab you by your hair and bring you here by the ear, by the leg. I'll drag you over here, period. You're going to get some and then some. You see, we need to do this. We need to provide them with the water. We need to do this for them. That's why sometimes you see families in which their children are spiritually sick, ill, because they're only drinking of the contaminated waters of this world. And we as dads, we as shepherds have this responsibility. But you know what? You need to have some of that water yourself. You see, in John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. And she's talking about him asking her for water. And you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How come you ask me for water? And he's like, if you knew the water that I can give you, you wouldn't be asking me all these questions. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. But Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, meaning the water that she had in her pot or in that well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. That's what I'm talking about. Just remember that you, fathers, lead them to the waters. It doesn't say, you know, like, well, mom can lead them to waters too. It doesn't say grandma. It doesn't say your neighbor. So you bring them. You lead them. You take them. It is you as the father. You are the shepherd. You ought to take the staff and the rod and lead them to waters. Now, we're going to talk about the rod and the staff here in a second too, because that's important. But you need to put on your shepherd's garments. Let's go to the next thing here. You need to guide and discipline your flock. You need to train them. See, Joshua had to do this. This is part of his shepherding duties. That doesn't mean to harm them. It means to discipline them. And the discipline, the Bible says that good discipline seems painful at the moment, but later it's a blessing. As simple as that. You see, disciplining them is not about putting them down or stripping them from their potential. Disciplining is about upbringing and empowering. That's what discipline should do. You have been given a rod and a staff. As in Psalm 23, I want you to understand and check out what it says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Check this out. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So grab your rod and comfort your children. You get what I'm saying? I'm not talking about smacking them around and hitting them with the rod and the whip and the belt. Well, the Bible does say. But you see, I want you to understand that the Bible says that the rod and the staff comforts me. That's a big difference when we think about discipline. Now, I want you to think about the rod and the staff, because the rod was simply a stick, a strong stick, made out of strong wood so that the shepherd could defend the sheep from the predators. He used this rod to smack around the lions and everybody else. Remember the stories of David when he said, I'm a little shepherd, but I got the strength that I don't know where it comes from, but I can tear up a lion if they come after my sheep. Most likely he used the rod too. Because he had one. The shepherd always carried a rod. Now, when we look at the rod, this represents the Lord's strength. His strength and his protection. His power to fight off the predators. Now, as a parent, your rod is not just to smack them around. It's to protect them, to bring comfort. Because you're using it to discipline and correct. But you're also using it to protect them. And not only that, he carried a staff. You know the staff? The one with the hook? The one with the hook. Well, you grab them by the neck when they don't. Well, guess what? The shepherd had to do that sometimes. Grab them and say, hey, where are you going? Or if they fell, they went in there and grabbed them with the hook because they had that staff. But it's to comfort. And this is a symbol of God's guidance and loving kindness. So you need to guide them. You need to rescue them. You need to keep them in check with your rod and your staff. But you need to do that, not to hurt them, but to comfort them. Comfort my sheep. Feed my sheep. Love my sheep. See, the proper guidance and discipline will hurt, but in due time, it brings comfort. Next. Also to carry the flock in their arms. This is love and affection and care. You need to carry them in your arms. It's not just for mommies, right? A lot of times mommies are carrying kids around and daddy is not doing so much of that. Well, do that. The more you show yourself present and affection and love and hugs and kisses, that doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you more of a father, more like your heavenly father. You see, you need to start speaking to your children, even from the womb, because they'll recognize your voice. You speak to your children. You don't wait till they grow up to talk to them. They need you when they're 5. They need you when they're 3. They need you when they're 10. They need you to be speaking to them. They need you to be comforting them. They need you to be in affection and love. They need that emotional support, spiritual support, physical support. They need it all. Now, most of you probably have seen this little video I want to show you. But if you haven't, what a treat. Look at this man. Look at this baby. Check this out.
As you know, I just flat out enjoy doing comedy. But one of the things I love way more than that is being a dad. Not too long ago, I'm going through some video footage, and I run into this video of my youngest daughter being born. Now, of course, I was there. I actually took the video, but I had never really experienced it from this perspective before. Now, look, we're in the hospital room. She's sticky, and she's baby and all that stuff, and she's in the middle of crying. And then I speak up. I start talking to her, and watch how she responds when she hears my voice.
It's okay, Portland. Look, I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay. I'm right here. I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay. It's okay. I'm right here. Right here. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay, baby. It's okay.
That was pretty awesome. So check it. A few minutes later, the nurse starts working on her, puts her pamper on her, and I'm not saying anything. And she actually starts to cry again. Then I speak up, she hears my voice, and stops crying. Like again. But I want you to notice what else happens after I tell her that I love her.
Portland, it's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm right here. I'm right here. I am right here. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay.
That's just phenomenal. Like, whoa. Here's the thing. We'll always have times where we're not as comfortable, probably even to the point of tears, where life is just heavy. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice, because He is trying to talk to you. And I can tell you what He wants you to know is that He loves you. All you got to do is open your eyes. Happy Father's Day.
You know, you need to talk to your children. And I know a lot of times they don't want to listen. But you want to see their eyes peel open, tell them, I love you. Huh? Some of them be like, but sooner or later it will have its effect on them. Just tell them you love them, but show them you love them, not just by bringing a paycheck, not just by working hard, but also by being there, being affectionate, speaking to them. You see, and like you said, God is trying to speak to us. And as soon as we open our eyes, if we know that the Father loves us, and we really, 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 you see, that's what He's been telling us the whole time. That's why He sent His Son, to show us that He loves us, to tell us how much He loves us. And when you really hear His voice and you understand that He loves you, you open your eyes to Him and you get to see Him and know Him. Now, fathers, you want your children to see you. You want your children to know you. Speak to them. Be with them. Just take them in your arms. Do whatever it takes. You see, in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 11, look at this. It says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. The ewes are the sheep that are having other sheep, the mama sheeps. He's taking care of those too. You see, Joshua showed himself as a good shepherd. He had to. I mean, when Moses asked God, who's going to shepherd them? And God said, let Joshua be the shepherd. He must have done a good job because he went all the way to the promised land and took them there like God instructed them. He led the people. He shepherded the people. He was chosen by God, and he followed God as he was followed by the sheep. You see, you lead your family the best when you choose to follow God himself. He laid down your life for you, his life for you. I know that as a father, you're willing to lay your life down for your children. And I may say this 10,000 times, and 10,000 times more I will say it. I'm pretty sure your children don't want you to die for them, but they'll love it if you live for them. And that's amazing. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Laying down our lives for our flocks, meaning living for them, fighting for them, making all the sacrifices. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 11? I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And that's what he done. And he didn't do it just for anybody, but for you. Specifically you, because he loves you by name. And he did it for you, Daddy. He did it for you, Mom. He did it for you, children. He did it for all of us because he loved us.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.